జయ రాధా మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ గిరివర ధారీ జశోదనందన భజ జన రంజన జశోదనందన భజ జన రంజన అంగన జమున తిరవన చారి జమున తిరవన చారి గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ జశోదనందన బ్రజ జన రంజన జశోదనందన బ్రజ జన తిరవన చారి చారి జమున తిరవన చారి చారి జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ జయ రాధ మాధవ కుంజ బిహారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర ధారీ గోపీ జన వల్లభ గిరివర జయ ఓం విష్ణుపాద్ పరమహంస జగదాచార్య అష్టోత్తర శత శ్రీ శ్రీమద్ హిస్ బాంగ్రేస్ ఏసీ భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామి శివ ప్రభుపాదకి గ్రంథరాజ్ శ్రీమద్ భాగవతానికి ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు ది అసెంబ్లీ డివోటీస్ ఆల్ గ్లోరీస్ టు శ్రీ శ్రీ గురు అండ్ గౌరాంగ నమో శివాయ కృష్ణపృష్టాయ భక్తి శ్రీమతి భక్తి వేదాంత స్వామికి నమస్తే స్వామి This morning we're reading from Canto 1, Chapter 15, verse number 32. Nishamya Bhagavan Margam.
Nishamya Bhagavan Margam.
Hold on, I don't think so. I said Om Namo. One second. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstham Yadukulasya Cha Swapathaya Matim Chakre Nibhrittatma Yudhishthira Nishamya Bhagavan Margam Samstham Yadukulasya Cha Swapathaya Matim Chakre Nibhrittatma Yudhishthira Please chant.
Nishamya Bhagavan Vagam.
Samstavya dukulasya cha
svapathaya matim chakre
nibritatma yudhishthira.
Ishamya Bhagavan Margam.
Samstavya dukulasya cha
svapathaya matim chakre
nibhritatma yudhishthira.
One more.
Nishamya Bhagavan Margam. Samstamya dukulasya cha svapathaya matim chakre nibhritatma yudhishthira.
Thank you. Word to word. Nishamya, deliberating, Bhagavat, regarding the Lord, Margam, the ways of his appearance and disappearance, Samstam, and Yadukulasya, of the dynasty of King Yadu, cha, also, sva, the abode of the Lord, pathaya, on the way of, matim, desire, chakre, gave attention, nibhritta atma, lonely and alone, Yudhishthira, King Yudhishthira. Translation in Prabhupada. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode and upon understanding the end of the Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. Maharaj Yudhishthira also turned his attention to the instruction of the Bhagavad Gita after hearing about the Lord's departure from the vision of earthly people. He began to deliberate on the Lord's way of appearance and departure. The mission of the Lord's appearance and disappearance in the mortal universe is completely dependent on his supreme will. He is not forced to appear or disappear by any superior energy, as the living beings appear and disappear, being forced by the laws of nature. Whenever the Lord likes, he can appear himself from anywhere and everywhere without disturbing his appearance and disappearance in any other place. He is like the sun. The sun appears and disappears on his own accord at any place without disturbing its presence in other places. The sun appears in the morning in India without disappearing from the Western Hemisphere. The sun is present everywhere and anywhere all over the solar system. But it so appears that in particular place the sun appears in the morning and also disappears at some fixed time in the evening. The time limitation even of the sun is of no concern. And so what to speak of the Supreme Lord, who is the creator and controller of the sun? Therefore, in the Bhagavad Gita, it is stated that anyone who factually understands the transcendental appearance and disappearance of the Lord by his inconceivable energy becomes liberated from the laws of birth and death and is placed in the eternal sky, eternal spiritual sky, where the Vaikuntha planets are. There, such liberated persons can eternally live without the pangs of birth, death, old age, and disease. In the spiritual sky, the Lord and those who are eternally engaged in the transcendental loving service of the Lord are all eternally young, because there is no old age and disease, and there is no death. Because there is no death, there is no appearance and disappearance. Because there is no death, there is no birth. It is concluded, therefore, that simply by understanding the Lord's appearance and disappearance in truth, one can attain the perfectional stage of eternal life. Therefore, Maharaj Yudhishthira also began to consider going back to Godhead. The Lord appears on the earth or any other mortal planet, along with his associates who live with him eternally. And the members of the Yadu family who were engaged in supplementing the pastimes of the Lord are no other than his eternal associates. And so also Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers and mother, etc. And so also Maharaj Yudhishthira and his brothers and mother, etc. Since the appearance and disappearance of the Lord and his eternal associates are transcendental, one should not be bewildered by the external features of the appearance and disappearance. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Bhutale Shumati Bhutalanta Swamitana Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharana Nirvisesha Shunya Vadi Paschati Adeshatan Vancha Kalpatul Vyascha Kripa Sunnibhi Vachaya Patita Nam Pavana Vyashtra Vyamo. Remember last time I gave class was on the previous chapter, and it was where Yudhishthira Maharaj was fearing that the worst thing may have happened, that Arjuna hadn't come back, and why there was so much delay. And so today I again get Yudhishthira Maharaj. So it's on the other side now. He found out what happened, what he feared happened, and this is his reaction. Just for us to go through his reaction, how he's responding, I thought that just to do a little, just to see what happened in this chapter. Since this is the verse now after hearing from Arjun. So here Yudhishthira Maharaj is hearing the news. Now news, good news, bad news, it affects who brings you the news. Like usually people would send a messenger, yeah? From one king would send a message to the other king through a messenger, kind of who is a little bit neutral, so to speak. So the news when you hear from a messenger sometimes is different from the king himself coming and telling you that he's going to attack your kingdom or whatever. So here, the news that Yudhishthira Maharaj is hearing from is from his younger brother. Arjun is a younger brother, but Yudhishthira Maharaj is also a father figure. Generally in the culture, Vedic culture, the younger sibling is like child. You're considered like your children. What to speak about Yudhishthira Maharaj, certainly the whole praja was his children. But here we have Arjun, his younger brother, who is expressing what has happened. And Sutta Goswami, as he's describing about Arjun, some of the things that he has said. In the very start, he said that when Arjun started to speak, I know something's wrong with this. Okay, so when he started to speak, he had a really hard time speaking his mind, what was going in him, and it was with great difficulty that he checked his tears of grief that smeared his eyes. So Yudhishthira Maharaj, the older brother, is looking at his younger brother, full of tears. So immediately his heart himself, Yudhishthira Maharaj's heart, see, if you see your child in tears, in great tears, you can see in great anxiety, immediately your own heart, even if you don't know what it is, you're anxious. So he's feeling, Yudhishthira Maharaj is seeing Arjun, and he speaks. His eyes are full of tears. And then he expresses that Krishna has, he says he has left me alone. In other words, almost like no matter who is around me, as far as I'm concerned, he has left me, so I'm feeling alone. He's left me alone with nobody. Almost like I'm an anath. I don't have anybody. He's left me alone. And then in the next verse he says, I've just lost him whose separation for a moment would render all the universes unfavorable and void. And he expresses his merciful strength. He says, only by his merciful strength. So he's expressing his that it is only, first he's expressing I'm left alone, I feel lost, and then he's praising Krishna for who he was, his strength, and because of him I was able to conquer everybody. It was only due to him that the wives, their hair of the miscreants, their hair was loosened. And so he's hearing, Yudhishthira Maharaj is hearing that from Arjun, and he says, I'm bereft of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he continues to say, it is by his mercy only that the enemy is neglected to kill me. So after that, he expresses some very intimate thing and says, generally, both of us used to live together and sleep, sit, and loiter together. So he has expressed all kind of his relationship with the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but not the Supreme Personality of Godhead, his friend Krishna. And hearing all this, you can imagine Yudhishthira Maharaj feeling very, yeah, seeing his brother crying. But it's not that Krishna was just Arjun's friend, and Yudhishthira Maharaj didn't have any relationship with Krishna. It wasn't that, because sometimes it happens. Your younger sibling has friend, and they may lose their friend, and you feel for your sibling, but you may not have had necessarily a relationship, but you're just feeling for the sibling who has lost his very dear friend. But here, Yudhishthira Maharaj has his own relationship with Krishna. So he's going through some real emotions within himself as Arjun is talking about his relationship, his loss. Yudhishthira Maharaj is thinking about his loss and how he's feeling. So he's in a real, you can imagine the state that he is going through. And after hearing Arjun, this is the verse today that we hear what Yudhishthira Maharaj, his response. Upon hearing of Lord Krishna's returning to his abode, and upon understanding the end of Yadu dynasty's earthly manifestation, Maharaj Yudhishthira decided to go back home, back to Godhead. So his response was, okay, that's it for me. I'm thinking about all the things that might have gone in his head. It's like, I took this throne because of him. He asked me to. The war was taken care, was done because of him, because he wanted me put on the throne. Now he's gone. What's the point of me continuing? What is the use? It's kind of like almost like Dronacharya. He had taken up the arms because of Ashwatthama, his son, and he wanted to provide nicely for Ashwatthama. But then when Yudhishthira Maharaj told him Ashwatthama is dead, Dronacharya was like, what's the point? What's the point of me living? If my son is dead, then what's the point? And so here Yudhishthira Maharaj is like, okay, that's it. He decided to go back home, back to Godhead. What's the use? And so the word that came to my mind when I first read this was the word sati, because we know sati means chaste or unflinching devotion. And so what the wife does is that she enters into the funeral pyre of the husband, because the pain of separation is worse than entering the pain of fire, entering into the fire. And so she enters into the fire. So that's the word that came to my mind for Maharaj Yudhishthira, that he almost performed sati. I mean, in the sense, you understand what I'm saying. It's not like that's what he did, but... So yes, Yudhishthira Maharaj, I mean, and we see that word sati is also used for his mother. Just when she started saying the... when Krishna was leaving to Dwarka, leaving Hastinapur, she's actually described as sati. There the word sati is not because she entered into fire when Pandu left. We know she didn't do that, Madri did that. But there the word sati is described as a chaste woman because of her chastity towards Krishna. And so we see that Yudhishthira Maharaj is also falling in his mother's footsteps. Again, we don't use the word sati, it's feminine anyway. But the point being that, yes, he also is feeling bereft, and he's feeling that separation. So that separation from Krishna, such strong feelings, and we know that this, as far as in our Gaudiya Sampradaya, that is considered the highest, separation from Krishna. That is our goal, to feel that separation that Arjuna is feeling, that Yudhishthira Maharaj is feeling. But I always think about separation, to feel that separation. How can you, in one sense, feel separation from somebody that you have never met? I mean, here Yudhishthira Maharaj and Arjuna, they ate, they slept, they talked. They had so many dealings with Krishna. But we haven't had any dealings with Krishna. So how do we cultivate that mood of separation from Krishna? So, but it's interesting. One time I was hearing Hari Parshad Prabhu a class, and he used the word absence. It's almost like we can feel absence of Krishna in our life more than separation. I like that word, absence, to feeling the absence that Krishna is not, I don't feel the presence, so I feel his absence in my life. And it's interesting to see that actually Rupa Goswami, he deals with this difference of, for someone who has not met Krishna, and to feel the feeling of separation. In the Western Ocean, in the second wave, the first wave is Shantaras, and this is in the western section of the ocean. And in the second wave is called Priti Bhakti Rasa. Priti Bhakti Rasa is actually another term for Dasya Ras. So when there is in the Shanta Ras, which is a neutral position, when there is a feeling of love develops, a wanting of service develops, is called Priti Bhakti Ras. So in Priti Bhakti Ras, which is again repeating, Dasya Ras, Rupa Goswami says Priti Ras has two types. One is called a yoga, so you can see it's separation. And the other is called yoga, meeting. So there are two categories of Dasya Ras, which is a servitorship. One is a yoga and the other is yoga, separation and meeting. And in a yoga, we're talking about separation here. Our topic is separation today. So in separation of Krishna, in Dasya Ras, Rupa Goswami divides that into further into two types. And the first one is called Utkantitam, and the other is called Viyoga. Utkantitam. Just so you become familiar with the term, like we say Nilakanta. Yeah, everybody knows what Nilakanta is? Blue-throated. So the same word, Kanta, Kantitam. So Utkantitam. So the Ayoga has two categories, Utkantitam, meaning one, okay, I'll tell his definition, and the other one is Viyoga. So Utkantitam is longing before ever meeting the Lord. And Viyoga means separation after meeting the Lord. So he describes the definition he gives for Utkantitam is the desire to see the Lord when the devotee has not seen him at all is called Utkantitam. So, dear devotees, do you feel yourself in that category? Utkantitam, where we have not seen the Lord and we desire to see the Lord. So that's called Utkantitam. I was remembering that a while ago, and I don't know where, if I wanted to rehear it again, but as far as I remember that Radha Govinda Maharaj was giving a class on Vritasura's pastime. And as we know, Vritasura's prayers, the last three prayers are very, very famous prayers. I think Krishna Swarup Prabhu just the other day at for his CC class, he was quoting Vritasura's prayer. I'm not good with numbers when it comes to, but aham hare tava padai kamula dasanu dasa bhavitasmi bhuya. He was quoting that verse. But the verse that I was thinking when Radha Govinda Maharaj was talking was the other verse.
Ajata paksha iva mataram khaga stanyam yata vatsatara shudartha priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna mano ravindaksha didrikshate tvam.
So this is Vritasura at the time right in the middle of the war between him and Indra. He's remembering his Lord Krishna. Can you imagine, right in the middle of the war? You can imagine what kind of devotee is Vritasura, born, being in a demon's body, but what kind of devotee? Even Indra praises him. So this is also a prayer of separation. And in this prayer, in the prayer that Krishna Swarup Prabhu was saying, he's asking, when will that happen again for me to be with you and serve you? Here he's talking about, again, that he wants to serve him again. He wants to see him. And then he gives three examples in this prayer. Ajata paksha iva mataram khaga. He says, like a bird who has not yet developed the wings, and he's waiting for his mother to come and feed him. I've actually seen this right outside one of our rooms in our house. There's a tree, and the bird had put a nest there, had made a nest. And I actually saw, there were a little bird, what are they called? Chicks?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. It was something with an ing. Chickling? Or, I don't know, anyway.
Fledgling.
What? Fledglings. Oh, that's right. That's the word I was looking for. Thank you. So little fledglings were there, and I saw the mother coming. And the mother from the mouth opened her mouth and fed from her own mouth and put it in the mouth of those little fledglings. And they opened their mouth. So Vritasura first gives an example that I'm like that little bird who is waiting for my mother to come and I'm so dependent on you, and you're that like that mother, and I'm waiting for you anxiously. But then he says, no, I'm kind of like waiting for some, for Krishna to serve me. So then he thinks of another example, and then he thinks about the stanyam yathavas, the calf who is hungry and but who's tied at the time of milking, so he can't wait till he is untied and he can go and drink his mother's milk. So that's like he's not waiting, but he is going and getting the milk. But then he thought, no, I'm still getting something. So then his prayer becomes, he gives another example, which is Priyam Priyeva Vyushitam Vishanna, where the wife is waiting for the husband who has gone out of town, and she's waiting for him to come back so she could serve him. So there Maharaj, he uses the word utkantitam, and he said just like utkantita, where the wife is looking like this, like when is it coming? So your kanta is utkantitam. It made me think of an example I wasn't going to share, but I might as well. Sorry, Prabhu. But I remember 20 years ago or so, kids were little, and Sishapur was coming back from India, so in Gainesville Airport, so I went with my two little ones, girls, Bhajan and I at that time, at the airport to get him. And so what do? You have a whole line of people coming from the plane, yeah? So you're looking like, so all these people are coming and you're looking, is he coming out of the, you know? So I kept on looking, and then less and less people came, less and less people came, and then never, and then I thought, okay, maybe he'll come now. But then the plane got emptied and he didn't come. And then I can imagine, utkantitam, it's like, okay. But then I went to the desk people, and they don't give you information because of privacy. So they won't give me any information. They said, but maybe he missed the flight, so there is another flight. So again, utkantitam, oh, okay, he's going to come. Maybe he missed the flight. But guess what? He never came for the second one either. And I tried to, you know, remain calm, especially because I had girls there. Then I asked the, again went to the desk, and I said, what? He said, well, there's another flight. I'm like, okay, good. So utkantitam, I was again looking. But guess what? He didn't come either. So you can imagine the feeling of somebody who is waiting, our position of waiting and seeing. And this is our position. We're waiting and waiting to see. Utkantitam. We're waiting that one day we will see Krishna. And so utkantitam, Rupa Goswami describes further. He says, he gives different examples of utkantitam. Before I tell you the examples, he describes that there are different feelings. Different feelings can happen, in a different emotions can happen for somebody even like ourselves who have never met Krishna. We can go through different feelings. And he describes, I'll say the Sanskrit just so that we become a little familiar. Atusukhya, impatience, danyam, humility, nirveda, self-deprecation, chinta, pondering, chapalam, insolence, jadata, inability to make decisions, and unmado, insanity. So now I will just describe some of examples that he gives. Very, very nice example of utkantitam, just in general, he gives, and maybe you recognize this from the 10th canto. This is a person who has never seen Krishna before. So let me see if you can see who it is. I'm going to see the Supreme Lord Vishnu, the reservoir of all beauty, who by his own sweet will has now assumed a human-like form to relieve the earth of her burden. Thus, there is no denying that my eyes will achieve the perfection of their existence. Anybody can think who could that be? Yeah, actually, that's pretty good, because she also hadn't seen him. Yes. But here the person is going to see the Supreme Lord. I am going. He's actually physically going. That was a pretty good guess. Akrura. That's right. Akrura. Thank you, Vegmati. So Akrura is feeling that utkantitam feeling of somebody who hasn't seen Krishna, and he's actually going to see Krishna for the first time. Now I'm going to read you some example of some of the emotions that Rupa Goswami describes. One is otsukya, that is impatience. So this is by Birbal Mangal Thakur. So you know the story of Birbal Mangal Thakur. He took his eyes out and he went to Vrindavan. So he hasn't seen Krishna yet. So he's saying, and so he describes in impatience, O Lord, O protector of the unprotected, O ocean of mercy, how can I pass my unfortunate days without having seen you? This is an example of impatience. I'll give you an example of nirveda, that is self-deprecation. It's interesting, the example that Rupa Goswami gives is of Uddhava. So maybe Pushkar can tell me later on, but I don't know why it's Uddhava. I guess Uddhava didn't see Krishna this is before he met Krishna. But the example Rupa Goswami gives is Uddhava. And this is self-deprecation. Though my eyes are praised because of seeing so many scriptures, they are unfortunate because they do not see the wealth of sweetness in the form of the effulgence coming from the toenails of your lotus feet. Let those eyes be destroyed. Wow. So some strong feelings. Now, here's an example of he gives of chinta, means pondering. Doesn't describe who that is, but I'll read what he says. Rupa Goswami says, I spend my nights expelling sighs of grief with bowed head, thinking myself unqualified for seeing the lotus feet of the Lord, though I have such longing to see them. And an example of chapalam, which is insolence. Again, it is from Krishna Karnamrita, so this is Birbal Mangal Thakur again. You know that your sweet youth astonishes all three worlds. Thus you and I can understand my insolence arising from my desire to see you. Give me some instruction. What should I do to see your rare lotus face with the attractive flute? Now, something jadata. inability to make decision. So example that Rupa Goswami gives is, the name is given here actually. From the very beginning of his childhood, Prahlad Maharaj was uninterested in childish playthings. Indeed, he gave them up altogether and remained silent and dull, being fully absorbed in Krishna consciousness. Since his mind was always affected by Krishna consciousness, he could not understand how the world goes on being fully absorbed in the activities of sense gratification. So this is described as jadata. And now for unmada, which is insanity, again Prahlad Maharaj is given as an example. Sometimes upon seeing the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Prahlad Maharaj would loudly call in full anxiety. So I'm assuming this is when he's seen him within. He sometimes lost his shyness in jubilation and began dancing in ecstasy. And sometimes, being fully absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, he felt oneness and imitated the pastimes of the Lord. So this reminds me of the gopi. For Danya, so what I was thinking, what I wanted to do was, have all of us that we can chant a song in the mood of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, in the mood of Danya, which is one of the feelings, emotions that one has in Utkantitam. Bhaktivinoda Thakur, if we want to feel, or Prabhupada says we're supposed to cry for Krishna. This is what Prabhupada himself has said, that we should cry for Krishna. Actually, one time, Sumati tells her story that in Boston, this is like in the early 70s when Satsar Maharaj was there, not a sannyasi then, Satsar Maharaj and Sohotra and Sumati, she says that there was a radio program and they would take a story from Krishna book, and then Satsar Maharaj would write a script, and then they would have a dramatized reading or whatever on the radio. So when Prabhupada would come, Satsar Maharaj would let him hear the tape that they had done. And so Prabhupada was hearing the pastime of Krishna being caught in the coils of the Kaliya serpent. And in that, when he was hearing that, he heard Sumati was Mother Yashoda. And so she cried out for Krishna. And like she really cried out Krishna's name because he's in the coil of Krishna. So she, in complete anxiety. And so Srila Prabhupada he asked Satsar Maharaj to stop the tape. And then he said, "Who is this?" And then Satsar Maharaj said, "That is Sumati." And he said, "She should always cry for Krishna like this." Anyway, so so this is for again for us Gaudiya Vaishnavas, we're meant to cry for Krishna, and with Rupa Goswami's help and Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Srila Prabhupada has given us everything. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur's bhajans, when you sing those bhajans, we understand, or even if we don't understand, we say those bhajans, then we can develop that mood of separation in Utkantitam. So I'm just going to read the English, and then Shyamadarshini is going to lead us with the prayers. They are prayers. With the bhajan. So let me read the translation, and Shyamadarshini, you want to get ready? Okay, let me read the translation. I forsook you, O Lord, and came to this world of pain and sorrow. Now I submit my tale of woe at your lotus feet. While still in the unbearable fetters of my mother's womb, I saw you before me. You revealed yourself, but briefly, and then but briefly, and then abandon this poor servant of yours. At that moment, I swore to worship you after taking birth. But birth came, and with it, the network of worldly illusion, which robbed me of all good sense. As a fondled son in the lap of relatives, I passed my time smiling and laughing. My parents' affection helped me to forget the pangs of birth, and I thought the world was very nice. Day by day, I grew and soon began playing with other boys. Shortly, my powers of understanding emerged. I read and studied my lessons incessantly. Traveling from place to place, proud of my education, I grew wealthy and maintained my family with undivided attention. O Lord Hari, I forgot you. Now, in old age, Bhakti Vinod is sad. He weeps. I failed to worship you, O Lord, and instead passed my life in vain. What will be my fate now? So those who are, go ahead, those who are on the internet, you can go on KK Songs, and it starts with Bhuliya, B-H-U, Bhuliya Tobare. And you can sing in front of your deities as we meditate on this song by Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So this is what we can do, is we can sing the bhajans of Acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and his Kalyana, Kalpataru, Sharanagati, all his so many songs, he has bhajans he has written, that we can sing them and pray to these great souls to help us develop this utkantitam, to hear about the Supreme Lord, to hear the qualities. Rupa Goswami says this is how we do, is we review his qualities and thinking and means of attaining his association. So this is part of our program that Srila Prabhupada has given us, so we encourage each other to continue to do so. So if you have any questions or comments or reflections on the subject matter, please, please do so. Yes, Vegavati Prabhu. Oh, sorry, I didn't see Tirukam.
Hare Guru.
Hare Krishna, Tirukam Prabhu.
When I read that poem, I was working with the government of Guyana. When I read that poem, I left my job and went in the temple.
So this is a proof of what bhajans can do. He left everything. Wow. Jai.
Did Sesha Prabhu ever come? How long did it take?
Well, the hard part was, as I said, nobody would give me anything, and then I came back home and I didn't know what to do, and then I called the airlines and they wouldn't give me anything, so then I called my mother. I didn't want to call her because I didn't want her to worry. And so I kind of in a very, kind of like, oh, I was just wondering what, did he miss a flight, just kind of like, and then she said something like, I forget what she said, but yeah, it could be possible or something. There might be some deroute. So basically, yeah, he was derouted and then he went to Toronto and, whatever. So finally he made it back, And that, it's funny that you asked that question, utkantitam. We don't, Krishna will definitely come one day. He will come. We may feel like why he's not coming, but he will come. He will come and give us his mercy. We will see him one day. And so we should never lose hope. Yeah, I didn't lose hope, although I thought about the worst things that may have happened. But yeah. So yeah, Krishna will come.
Thank you. Sometimes also I think we get to feel that some intense feelings of separation from devotees.
Yes.
It so happened one time, when would it have been? Early 80s or mid 80s something. I was living at Gita Nagari and Swarga and I had been out on the road. So when we came back, Paramananda Prabhu had some slideshow he had shown to all the devotees of his recent trip to Vrindavan. Mm. But we weren't there for that. So he showed it just to us in the old schoolhouse. Mm. And I also feel separation from other devotees, but this particular day he showed some slides of Prabhupada's quarters. Mm. And I remember one shelf had Listerine, Vaseline, and Vicks Vapor Rub. And I sat in that room, it was dark, and I sobbed like I never sobbed for missing Srila Prabhupada's Bapu. But
That's definitely, it's the same thing that we experience the separation from the Vaishnava, the spiritual masters, yes. Yes, that's that is actually very endearing to Krishna, that you're missing his devotees. So missing Krishna and missing his devotees, yes, it's the same. Any other reflections on this subject matter?
There's one online question from Ragatmika Mataji. Vritasura's words are, quote, or as a morose wife whose husband is away from home, always longs to for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. I always wondered why he doesn't say that he longs to serve her husband. Did Radha Govinda Maharaj give any insight on this?
Is that what the translation says?
It must be.
Okay. Okay, for some reason it's a long time ago that when I heard this class by him, but in the word to word itself, it doesn't say, in the word to word, priyam priyeva vishitam vishanna, that she is distressed. But then the last sentence, it says, mano ramindaksha didrikshate tuam. Didrikshate means desiring to see. And that applies to all the above three examples that he gives. So Srila Prabhupada has written for him to return and satisfy her in all respects. I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. So in the last sentence, Prabhupada writes, I always yearn for the opportunity to render direct service unto you. At least that's what I remember Maharaj saying, that he must have said something about that, you know. I don't really remember now. But I guess it's both. I mean, in one sense, she has lost her service. Her husband is gone, and she doesn't have the service to him. And so in one sense, it can be seen that her service to her husband is the way where her desires are fulfilled. You understand what I'm saying? Where she is always longs for him to return and to satisfy her in all respects. In other words, satisfied by giving that service that she's missing to serve him and in other ways. So probably has all those, everything is included. Yes, maybe you could go ahead.
I agree with your point, and to underline it, there's one sentence in an early purport where Prabhupada says, service is the most congenial form of intimacy.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Thank you. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.